Chrisley Watt.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa?
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour of 12, as we are high atop Madison Square Garden in these great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com.
Mazel tov.
And once again, back to back, belly to belly, Rita Cosby, our political director, is in the house. You normally can hear her Sunday mornings, both at 6 in the morning, and then So Nice, the Suits let her do it twice. She comes back for another program that she hosts at 11 a.m., and, boy, we got a full bill today, and then you got some extra heavy lifting to do.
I am excited. And by the way, I'm excited I'm going to be here at 2 o'clock solo, but I'm thrilled for you because you have your second showing of your awesome documentary, Vigilante, today.
Yeah, in fact, I was just talking about it at length with Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg.
I heard. There were a couple feisty words in there, too.
Oh, absolutely.
High-spirited boys.
Absolutely. But it's the final showing as part of the Doc Film Festival in New York today of the Guardian Angel documentary about my life and times called Vigilante. And it's going to then travel the world to other film festivals, artsy-fartsy film festivals. And
so
then,
are you going to travel with part of it? Or are you going to do sort of special cameos, or what's the plan?
I don't know yet, because it's still being queued up at different film festivals. They have to first view it, and they have to think if it's part of culturally what they want to expose.
Well, this is what you do. You bring the Guardian Angels, right?
Yes.
I've seen a lot of the guys. They are big guys and gals. They're buff.
Yes.
And you say, listen, if you don't put it in the film festival and make it like your featured performance, we're going to break you in half.
Yeah.
How about that? That's all you do.
Well, definitely it should be previewed in Chicago,
yes.
The murder capital of America,
and
Detroit,
LA.
New Orleans, Los Angeles,
Atlanta,
in the United States, Baltimore,
Miami,
right? Body Bag, yeah. City, Baltimore.
Yep.
But if you'd like to see it today, because it's the final showing here in New York, it's not online yet. Nobody has picked it up, and they can't until it's played through all the film festivals like Netflix or any of the others. You have to go to the IFC Center, which is on 6th Avenue at West 3rd Street.
Just in the village.
All trains go to West 4th Street there. I'll be there because at 2 o'clock I run out the door. Knowing the MTA, the money-taking agency, and how late the trains are, I might even be late for this showing, but I'm expected to do the intro before the showing of it. It's about 80 minutes.
They'll wait for you. You're worth the wait.
About 80 minutes, and then I'll do the Q&A afterwards, and then hopefully the A-Train is running on time so I can get back here in order to do the drive home at 5. Because remember, we got two cases that are in limbo. That against the crook, the capo de tutti of all corrupt U.S. senators, Bobby Menendez in Newark. It looks like that jury may end up deadlocked, even if the judge has to use an Allen charge, which he hasn't done yet. That's the final measure. And if that doesn't work, then unfortunately Bobby Menendez will be free to be corrupt again in the U.S. Senate representing New Jersey. And we have the trial of Norman Seabrook, who walked away with a Ferragamo bag stuffed with $60,000 given to him by Reichnitz.
For directing the union funds, remember, into the hedge fund. So that's
a questionable
story.
Hedge fund,
yes.
That ended up going belly up. So,
and I love the Reichnitz.
That's right. Sure. So the correctional union members lost a lot of money there. And Norman Seabrook may skip on these corruption charges. So that could well be the lead stories as we enter into this evening.
You know, it's amazing, too, Chris. Here it is. Aren't you staggered that it has taken so long? I mean, both of these juries, the fact that it is just continuing. Menendez's jury is, like, well beyond 24 hours. And I was reading, it's interesting because the defense is trying to say to direct the judge, hey, listen, you can tell the jury that you don't have to come back with a verdict, that that's acceptable. The prosecution, on the other hand, is saying, well, let's go for a partial. A partial is okay. They're all fighting to carve out their niche. But it's amazing that both of those cases that are in total limbo, I think nobody expected both of them to drag on this long.
Think of it. Knowing what we know about Bobby Menendez, all the free trips, all the pay for play, you scratch my belly, I'll scratch yours, bringing in floozies for his Medici, his benefactor,
the doctor,
the infamous
Dr.
Melgen,
yep,
who ripped off Medicare for millions of dollars. You would say to yourself, you can't find him guilty of one of the 18 charges. But then again, remember this jury in Newark, one of the juror members sent out a note. What is a U.S. senator?
Yeah, and then remember the whole thing that was going on with that jury, that they were basically waiting for that one juror to go on vacation because she was saying not guilty. And so there's just been all these like wacky things in the jury room. And it's fascinating, like you said, that it is continuing. But this is good news, by the way. I've covered so many cases, and this is good news for Senator Menendez that it's dragging on.
Bad news for us.
Yeah, maybe bad news for the taxpayers, but good news for Senator Menendez so far. Again, we don't know, but we're going to, believe me, everybody, if we get the verdicts and if they come in while we're here on the show, we will break in and, of course, have the very, very latest on either one of them.
But his constituent is our news director, Noam Layden. And Noam Layden was the MC of an event last night for Elim, which is a great nonprofit that does work for wayward youth throughout the state of Israel.
Beautiful.
And it doesn't matter. They don't have to just be Jewish kids. They are kids who are Palestinian Arab, Palestinian Christian, Druze kids, Bedouin kids, Ethiopian Jewish kids who were brought over from a third world existence to suddenly a first world existence in Israel. Some of them have had a hard time assimilating. And they were honoring me with their Lifesaver Award, their top award last night. And our Junior Guardian Angels program.
Beautiful.
Which was started in Washington Heights years ago by our director of the Junior Guardian Angels, Dennis Torres, a.k.a. Superstretch. And it has been cloned now throughout the world in many of our Guardian Angel chapters. And we take care of kids who are 5 to 16 who could easily succumb to the temptations of the streets, the gangs, the drugs, all the negative influences, especially because of the neighborhoods they live in. But I had a chance to tell a story about being in Washington Heights just last week, not to visit the Junior Guardian Angels, but going to Columbia Presbyterian to my urologist, planning on the operation I have to have on December 13th to get rid of like half my stomach because of this colitis, ileitis, and Crohn's disease.
Which came from the shooting and all the other stuff,
right,
of course.
And I spoke of the guy I met there, real out the cock of Weisenheimer Nudge, named Leo. So Leo's in there waiting. And Leo's insisting, because I have Crohn's disease, that I must be a Jew. That I have to be an Ashkenazi Jew.
Why? Because he thinks that, Jews are nervous or Jews are... What's his reason?
No.
What's his crazy... What's the stereotype he's trying to create here? Wait a minute.
The majority of the people who come down with Crohn's disease happen to be Jewish.
Well, sometimes they also say that some of it is due to nerves and to stress. People, by the way, a lot of journalists have it, too, because you miss, like, going to the bathroom. You're busy. You're standing out there waiting and waiting. I can't remember. I can't tell you how many times they're, like, have bladder problems because you're standing out there waiting for the story to break, and you can't run to the bathroom because you're waiting for that person to walk out.
Well, Jews are always nervous, as you know.
Well, and journalists are, too.
many Jews still walk around with their passports, assuming that they could be exiled at any moment. From the days of Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand exiling them from Spain to obviously the Holocaust and other situations where in the middle of the night they'd have to pick up and just vamoose.
They're ready.
It was
they're
either ready. That or off with your head.
They're
so
ready.
I understand why they're nervous.
They're ready, right? But there's a history there.
But Leo would not leave me alone, and I was having a colitis attack in the waiting room, and it was mostly Jews there waiting for the urologist. You know, my bowels, my goiter, and naturally going through the moaning and groaning. And so he's insisting I must be an Ashkenazi. I tell him, I'm not Sephardic. I'm not an Ashkenazi. I'm not a Jew. Let me tell you my history in Poland. My grandfather, Anton, grew up in the highland areas of Limanova near the Czechoslovakian border on a dairy farm. My great-grandfather said to him, as the oldest boy in our Roman Catholic family, you're going to go to the seminary. You're going to be a priest. My grandfather, Anton, said, hell, I'm going to be a priest. And he fled.
So wait, did you tell Leo this whole story?
Yeah, to prove that I am not a Jew, I am not an Ashkenazi or Sephardic.
Now, did he give in after that, or what did he say?
No, no. And then I wanted to distract and divert him, because he was a nudge. He right. wouldn't stop, Leo. And I said, and what about you? Where are you from? He goes, to Ukraine. I joined the Soviet military. I worked my way up to captain. But if you were a Jew, you couldn't go any further up.
So Leo's a Jew. Ranks, Leo's right? Jew. Okay.
And then he goes, and then I was assigned to Iraq. And then all of a sudden I said, Iraq.
Huh.
Slowly I turned, step by step.
Step by step.
And what were you doing in Iraq, Leo? And he said, I was assigned to Uday. And I knew Uday. That's yeah. right. Uday and Qusay, yeah, the sons of Saddam Hussein.
Now, what was he assigned to Uday? Now, by the way, these two, the sons, were notorious for having the lions that they were feeding people to. I mean, you know, just brutal, brutal
sons. And chasing
sons.
Skirts.
Yeah, and chasing skirts, right. Chasing skirts and brutal killings. These are the two sons of Saddam Hussein.
So he was there to help in the development of chemical weapons. So naturally, I was all ears.
So what was he doing with Uday?
Helping them develop their chemical weapons supply.
He was helping Uday?
Well, Iraq,
yes.
Saddam Hussein,
oh,
on behalf of the Soviet government at that time.
Very interesting. Okay.
So he went on and on, yeah. and then I had my appointment with the urologist when he told me, okay, we're going to cut out your stomach on December 13th. We're going to give you a colostomy bag and a morphine pump. And whether it's 1 week you're in, that's the over-under, that's the good part.
Now, were you worried about having a doctor who is so close to Uday, who's now telling you what he's going to do to you?
No. Luckily,
you know, that's a little scary.
Luckily, Leo wasn't the doctor.
Okay, I was going to say, keep him away from me.
He was another one of the many Jewish patients there that were moaning and groaning about their stomach.
This is a great story.
Oh, no, it was fantastic, because naturally he mentioned that magic word, Uday,
yeah.
chemical weapons, Saddam Hussein, Iraq. I'm a Soviet captain in the military.
And here you are in Washington Heights. You're
right.
Like, wait a minute.
No, it was absolutely great. And then also, today is a day that is very important to me. Not to most of America, because they're still not into this. It's America's Recycles Day.
Yes, it is.
And as you know, Rita Cosby, I recycle everything.
You do. And by the way, I know that because when I go by your office, it's like, here's a pile of this. You are so good with that. You are diligent, and I love it. It's a little neurotic, but it's good.
I've been doing it before there was Earth Day, before there was the term recycling, when you used to be called a junk man.
Now, how did you get involved in that? How did that get started? Because ever since I've known you, you've had these piles in your office of... Here, this one goes in this basket, this one goes in this basket.
Well, my grandfather, Fidel Bianchino, used to go into the lots around Canarsie in East New York, and he'd pick the old mattresses, the rags, and then he would battle the junk man who would come by with the truck, and he would weigh the materials in the back and then compensate you for that. And always my grandfather would get into battles with junk men from Dean Street in Brooklyn.
He was getting the money from the recycling?
Yes.
Just because he was so, you know,
right.
careful with his money.
Right, but it was,
wow.
You were a junk man back yeah. then. You weren't considered a recycling fiend like I am. And then I extrapolated and took it to the next extreme because I saw all the bottles, the newspapers and cans being discarded.
But did you do it because you thought it's the right thing to do or for money? Or
no.
What was the intention?
No, you lose money doing this. You yeah, don't make
so what,
money.
Just because you said ethically this is the right thing to do?
The only ones who make money are the Chinese women in the morning who are out in the wee hours of the morning collecting bottles and cans.
There's some scary ones there, too. I'll tell you, you know, it's so funny. The other day, literally, I was throwing something. I was taking the subway back from here, and I remember throwing a bottle in, and literally right behind me, I don't even think the bottle, like, hit the trash can. It was like, whoops.
That's a nickel.
You know, yeah, there's
That's
a nickel.
That's a nickel. Boom.
There's a nickel. I felt bad I didn't have another one, but I was like, God, that hand is fast.
So I would collect tons of it before there were recycling centers, Earth Day. And then all of a sudden, I became famous for being one of the first to ever establish a recycling center in Brooklyn, then in Queens. And then all of a sudden, the marketplace fell out. You couldn't give this stuff away because, you know, it's all supply and demand.
Yes.
If there's no demand, then it goes to the landfill or it gets incinerated. And I got stuck with all this trash in my front yard. And my grandfather, Fidel Bianchino, was going absolutely out of his mind saying, hey, the neighbors here, they want to burn down the house. They think this is a junkyard now.
How funny. But today is National Recycling Day. One of the things, by the way, that I wasn't surprised that's being highlighted today on America Recycles Day is Keurig. Because I'm one of those people, I try to do the best I can with recycling. I'm nowhere near as good as you, Curtis. But Keurig. I love Keurig coffee. Anybody who knows me, it's, you know, the quick little cups that you put in the thing. And I think it's just convenience. But yet they are one of the worst offenders, it looks like, because, of course, they partially only disintegrate when you put them into the landfill. They're not that good.
Is that why the Sean Hannity fans have started busting up their Keurig machines?
I know. Well, not really. You know what's so funny? I was on Twitter the other night, and I see Keurig trending. I'm like, huh, maybe there's something good. And it's the whole thing, of course, with advertising, with the whole Sean Hannity advertising.
We're going to talk about it later. He's given Judge Roy Moore 24 hours to splain himself, as Ricky Ricardo used to say.
Yeah, splaining.
You better splain yourself, Judge Moore, because you didn't do a good job on the interview that he hosted that got Sean Hannity in a lot of trouble with advertisers. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
To show you, Rita Cosby, how disconnected Comrade Bill de Blasio is as mayor with much of what is run in the city of New York, I want to take you back months ago before the campaign for re-election got heated, when he made this unbelievable statement about what goes on in NYCHA, the New York City Housing Authority.
Or imagine for a moment you are a family living in public housing. And you're doing everything you can to get by. But the problem is, the building you're in is a haven for rats. Why? And this is shocking. I did not know this until we went through this process over the last weeks. Because there are buildings in public housing that have not concrete floors. They have dirt floors to this day.
Now, he just discovered that.
Yeah, he just discovered it.
After being the public advocate for 8 years, city councilman from the Slow Park Slope for years, and now mayor.
It's a good political thing to talk about, but this new news is, I think, really damning to the administration, because essentially the monitor lied and they didn't even check these NYCHA housings. We're not even talking about the floors now, we're talking about lead. I mean, this is serious stuff. And it's a lie, which is what I think is the most concerning, is that apparently, you know, they have to do these inspections for lead paint.
Sure,
it's law
sure.
Because it's very serious for kids who are under like 6 or 7 years old. It could be deadly. And they claim that they made it. They actually had someone who signed on to doing the inspections. And it turns out it was all a lie. This
right.
is so shameful.
So now, what is de Blasio going to do? His director of public housing signed off on this.
Yeah, now that's what I'm curious. What will be the repercussions?
You would think he would sack her, right, for lying.
That would be the correct thing to do.
But he probably won't. We've seen him vacillate before.
Yes.
With the Child Welfare Association that is responsible for the care and maintenance.
Even with the corrections, remember? With the corrections at first.
Ponte, remember?
It was remember? Like, yes, absolutely.
Going up and back and forth to Maine to his Moose Lodge meetings there when he was supposed to be running the correctional department. So let's predict he'll vacillate. I think it's incumbent upon Ben Carson, who is in charge of HUD, which pays for 90% of New York mm-hmm. City's public housing.
Yeah, a lot.
90%.
Yep.
To step in and say, you better fire her.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fire her.
Absolutely. And by the way, it will be interesting to see, because we haven't really seen the feds sort of dealing with New York in terms of housing issues. And you haven't heard too much about Ben Carson sort of overriding somebody and stepping in. You know, we know he's in the position. We know he's been traveling around. You know, you've seen all these reports. But it will be fascinating to see if he steps in, or if, as you know, you and I both agree, the mayor should step in. It shouldn't have to take Ben Carson. The mayor should do the right thing.
The reason that whoever is mayor here must have a relationship with the Trump administration. Because imagine, NYCHA, which houses so many of your residents, is subsidized 90% by the federal government. If you don't have a relationship with Trump, de Blasio, what becomes of the funding for NYCHA, especially now since your director has been found to be in a lie about having inspections for lead poisoning that never took place?
Well, you bring up an interesting point, because clearly, and we saw this right away, even in his victory speech when he won re-election just last week, here he was right away taking on Donald Trump. So he's already created, and he campaigned basically against Donald Trump. I mean, that was his whole campaign. So you're right. What kind of relationship, and could that hurt funding?
Anyway, let's get our news headlines and updates from Ken Duffy.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
A little war. This is Rita Cosby here joining my buddy Curtis Sliwa today, and we're playing that song because students and parents at Port Richmond High School are up in arms, and they invited a speaker who they thought would talk about the military and talk about maybe the pluses of the military, and instead they got a disabled veteran from the War Resisters League who basically said, look, don't join the military, especially girls, because you're going to get PTSD. And as a result of that, Curtis, the students, the parents, many people were deeply upset. Take a listen.
It was a lot to handle, like a lot to take in and just like over, like blown to say, like, wow.
It's not all peaches and cream. It's hard work. It is. Mm-hmm. But the stuff they put in that flyer is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. That's not right. And that shouldn't be put out there about our military.
Now, the thing is, Curtis, these are high school students. And here it is. These are kids who thought, okay, well, when they invited this guy, they thought, okay, it's going to be a veteran who's going to talk about what he went through, but also encourage people to join the military, the pluses of joining the military. On one hand, look, this is a reality of war, post-traumatic stress. My father certainly experienced post-traumatic stress, so I have deep compassion for this. But I think it's a little heavy when you go to a high school class and then suddenly you get this pamphlet that says, girls, stay away from the military. And basically everybody, if this is supposed to inspire you to the military, these kids sound like they're traumatized.
Well, I've actually been to Port Richmond High School in Staten Island, which is at the foot of the Bayonne Bridge. And I was there for their ROTC award ceremony. I was giving out awards one year about 7-8 years ago, and they have a great ROTC program there.
And by the way, it was the school's active junior ROTC spokesman, it was the head of the program, the junior spokesman for the program, actually arranged this speaker. That's who was behind it, thinking it's going to be a good recruiting drive.
I don't have a problem with this, and I'll explain why. The gentleman who was invited in to speak to the students was from the War Resisters League, although he was a veteran himself. He pointed out for young ladies, there is a danger of sexual harassment in the military, which is at all-time record levels. I mean,
not reported right. as much as it should.
To her credit, our U.S. Senator of New York, Gillibrand, has made that her prime issue. She has railed against the military command about why they have taken no measures to crack down on this. It's systemic, like it is in the rest of society, as we're now seeing from Judge Moore to Harvey Weinstein, people on the right, the left, it doesn't matter. But women have really been sexually harassed in the military, and that includes in the United States Army, United States Marine Corps, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, and I think I'm leaving one of the services out there. But the point is, it is systemic.
The Navy, right? Yep.
So now you have that problem. You should warn women about that. Secondly, post-traumatic distress disorder is a reality.
It absolutely is. But don't you think it scares the heck out of students? And especially if they're bringing in, it's the ROTC person, I think they better do a little better research, because it sounds like that's not what they were at least expecting.
I think if
you tell people this is what's coming in and here's, you know, we're going to show all sides of battle, then that's different. But it sounds like they are caught flat-footed.
But they do that. They do that on a regular basis. They have recruitment officers come in from all five services, particularly on career day, and they recruit young kids, which I don't have a problem with. I'll give you an example. When I went to Brooklyn Prep, a Jesuit high school, the Jesuits there brought in the Berrigan brothers. And this was during the Vietnam War era, in which we believe you don't trust anybody over 30. What a disaster that was, the Vietnam War, LBJ, the Gulf of Tonkin incident that never took place, over 50,000 Americans who died. For what reason? We saw our president there in Vietnam being greeted by the new president, who's still a communist, right? Still a communist, but totally immersed in capitalism.
And by the way, I think our president should have made some more points about human rights and so forth.
Right, but the point being is,
that's a whole other issue.
Why not tell young men and young women the pluses and minuses of military service? It's not, there's no draft any longer. It's a volunteer service in which it's a paid occupation. And I think they should know the good and the bad and then make their own choices. Like I said, when I went to Brooklyn Prep, they had the Berrigan brothers come in. They were anti-war. They discouraged the young men from joining the military. But we also had recruitment officers who had formerly been, who had attended Brooklyn Prep, who came in and recruited young men into the services, especially the ROTC, because many of them were going on to college.
Yep.
And the kids figured, oh, this is a great way to get a good education.
Free education, free this, free that.
And then eventually end up serving in the United States military.
So everybody, what do you think? Do you agree with Curtis that it's a good thing, or do you think that it's a little too heavy? I think it's just too much. I really do. The number to call is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. And again, remember, these are high school kids. And I think what I don't have a problem if you say, listen, here's all the rah-rah, here's the regular ROTC pitch that they always give.
Sure.
And then on the other hand, they say, well, then today now we have a very different speaker. And those of you who are interested in the military, come if you want to, but here's what it basically is. It sounds to me like they were not well prepared at what they were going to hear. And suddenly this person who they thought was going to give the rah-rah speech suddenly says, well, it's an oppressing land. It's occupying lands. This is what the U.S. military does, they're saying. And then they bring up the military sexual trauma, which you're talking about, Curtis. And yeah, some of these issues, the sexual trauma and all this stuff, but to say, hi, here the military is, we're oppressing people, we're occupying lands, you know, that sounds like what you bring in Muammar Gaddafi to talk about, not what you bring in a recruiter for.
Yeah, but you know something? That's this guy's opinion. He did serve, for instance.
And by the way, he is, yes, you, and I give him the respect because he is a veteran.
We knew what John Kerry did. He served in Vietnam as a Mekong River boat captain.
Right, and all the swift boat stuff that we saw during the campaign.
And then when he came back home, he joined what was the equivalent of the War Resisters League, threw his medals onto the grounds of the White House. He went over and he actually stood with the North Vietnamese during the negotiations outside of Paris when Kissinger was trying to negotiate the peace.
And famously threw his medals and said he doesn't want them. You know, I mean, but that's different because you know who he is. And I think when it's clear where it's coming from, that's different. But to suddenly throw these students into this situation, which is very heavy stuff.
I'm telling you.
And some of it controversial, oppressing people, occupying lands.
Well, that's the equivalent if you're going to play football. And for years, they didn't tell you about concussions and the future danger. And I'm not just talking at the professional level, because very few make it to that level, the NFL. But college, high school, mid school, you know, junior high school.
Right, to say, here are the hazards. Here are the hazards.
Let everybody know the good and the bad.
But that is different. I actually disagree with that, Curtis, because that is more physical evidence. This is, we come in and oppress people. That's a political statement. We occupy lands. That's what it said in the pamphlet. That's a political statement.
Well,
that is subject to interpretation.
But we had no business.
That is subject to interpretation.
We had no business invading Iraq.
Yeah, and I think, listen, there's some serious mistakes.
That was another crazy war. We're still stuck there. We're stuck in Afghanistan. You got to tell the kids who are the future of our military, hey, the pluses and the minuses.
But we don't know if that's what he's even referring to. He may have just been referring to every action we do, and he may have been so out of line.
But he's a veteran. He's entitled to his opinion.
He
Remember,
is, as long as students are prepared.
He's entitled
as long
to his
as they're
opinion
prepared.
More than I am. I didn't serve in the military.
That's anyway, for sure.
Let's go to Rich in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Richie, Rich.
Good afternoon, Rita. It's great to talk to you again.
Thank you, Rich.
After meeting at Army Week with your father's service with the Polish Army.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you.
No problem. So I'm a product of the junior ROTC system. I went 4 years in Francis Lewis High School in Queens, 4 years in ROTC in Hofstra, and I've been in the Army for 14 years after
that. God bless you. Thank you. Go Army.
So it's really sad to hear what happened. And Curtis, you know, I completely agree. You can say some of the negatives, but in this case, it's the equivalent to a police officer going in there saying, hey, you know, all we do is arrest minorities. You know, we obviously don't know that's why they joined.
Remember,
well, that's
Rich,
why I say it's a political statement.
This was geared towards females. The pamphlet he was handing out was not geared towards the males.
But he was in a class with everybody.
No, I understand, but and specifically
and
to the females.
How is oppressing lands gearing towards females?
I know, but you
that
could be
sexually
harassed.
That has nothing to do with females.
Rich, do you really think that the Army or any of the services have done all they can do to stop the sexual harassment that takes place in our military forces against women?
I tell you what, it's a leadership issue. If leaders recognize it as a problem, they do what's necessary. But I have plenty of strong female officer and enlisted friends that could go up there and give counterpoint to every single aspect of what that.
Yeah, but you know, I saw the Army Chief of Staffs. I saw the heads of each of our military services appear before the committee that Gillibrand was on, and they gave no answers. They wouldn't answer her questions. They acted insulted, like we're the military. We don't have to answer to you. Well, guess what? Our members in the House who are perving on women, our members in the Senate, I want to hear about who those people are. They're not going to tell us who they are. And they paid $15 million of hush-hush money to them. Nobody is exempt. Anyone who is guilty of sexual harassment, no matter what service they're in, whether police department, military, serving in Congress, we got to know who they are.
Absolutely, but it's not going to necessarily make a change by this guy going into a school of men and women, young of them.
That's how you started, by talking about it.
I think you need to hit the halls of Congress and do some other things to shine a spotlight on what absolutely needs to be highlighted. I agree with you on that, but this is not the way to do it.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Lewa. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of the Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
You shake my nerves and you rattle my brain. Too much of love drives a man insane. You broke my will, but what a thrill. Goodness gracious, great balls of fire. I let you love what I thought it was.
Jerry Lee Lewis.
You came along.
Great rock and roller from south of the Mason-Dixon line where they still fly the stars and bars, the flag of treason.
I laugh when I hear this music. You played it yesterday. It's just it's so fitting for this occasion.
Oh, yeah. It's the theme song for Judge Roy Moore because Jerry Lee Lewis became infamous when he married his first cousin, who was 13. And that was at the same time where nearby in Mississippi, Elvis, you couldn't get any bigger as a rock and roll star, was snacking on girls who were like 14, and it was open public knowledge of it. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden in these great facilities that are pumping out the 50,000 powerful watts of sound to all of you, courtesy to NJDiet.com, Rita Cosby, our political director, is in the house, and I understand you have some late-breaking news about the fate of Judge Roy Moore.
Well, in terms of Roy Moore, they're in a sort of an emergency meeting right now trying to figure out what to do. But one thing he has done in the last few hours is he's gone on the offensive. He has actually gone after a number of media organizations saying that you are defaming me, that you falsely published information. And so far, all we've heard is that Roy Moore is basically going on the attack. That was as of a few hours ago before they went into this meeting. And Roy Moore has taken an action. He's filed a letter to a local Alabama media organization. We understand he also sent this to the Washington Post. And he is basically saying a number of your reports are wrong, that you have to correct this within 5 days. I'm expecting a fair public retraction. And he also, if you look even on his social media, he is going full throttle because he is saying that Mitch McConnell, the GOP leader in the Senate, that his days are numbered. He is going after his critics and going on a full court offense as of the last few hours.
Last night, in front of a group of holy rollers, Roy Moore said exactly that and doubled down.
Why do you think I'm being harassed by media and by people pushing for allegations in the last 28 days of this election? Last 30 days, it began. After 40-something years of fighting this battle, I'm now facing allegations And that's all the press want to talk about. But I want to talk about the issue.
And then he went on to say,
obviously, I've made a few people mad. I'm the only one that can unite Democrats and Republicans.
What?
Because I seem to be opposed by both. They've spent over $30 million trying to take me out. They've done everything they could, and now they're together to try to keep me from going to Washington. And why?
And then Rita Cosby, he appealed to the Holy Rollers, the evangelicals, the charismatics who are at the core of his base of support by claiming this is spiritual.
This is not just a battle for Democrats and Republicans and how they vote on issues. This is a spiritual battle. I'm telling you, this is an evil day. This is a day when people would take away your rights, the government would take away your rights of religious freedom, religious liberty. We've got to stand.
Now, and of course, this comes with Sean Hannity, our buddy, who in the last 24 hours has said basically, you know, put up or shut up with him.
Yeah, he said, you must come clean on all these allegations or I'm throwing you under the bus. And that would leave as the last man standing in support of Judge Roy Moore in the media, our own Mark Levin. I listened to him last night. I couldn't believe it. I was like, Mark, you're such an intelligent guy. Can't you understand? This guy's a perv. This is a time in which women are coming to the forefront from all different sectors, all different backgrounds, and they are pointing out men who have violated them over the years. It's not just Judge Roy Moore. It's liberals, it's conservatives, it's religious people, it's
atheists. But it also has to still be fair. And I agree with you. You and I were talking about this. I do think it does not look good, and I thought that woman who came out with Gloria Allred, even though it's always expected it's going to be Gloria Allred by that person's side, I think that she was very convincing. But in this filing, and I'm reading through this filing right now, this is the letter that he sent to the Alabama media. It's interesting. Remember the signature, there's that signature on the yearbook where he basically said, you're beautiful, you're this, you're that. Well, he is saying that in this, that the signed signature, he said, which according to experts, he says have confirmed his experts, but we'll see. Have confirmed is not consistent with his handwriting. He's saying this is a big setup job, which, if that's true, that would certainly be interesting.
This would be the biggest cabal in the history of America, that so many women, so distant from one another, never having contact with one another, all suddenly rose and decided to point the finger.
Well, that's
at
what I'm
Judge
saying.
Roy
it's
Moore.
A grand, it's a grand scheme, yeah, but, and it certainly doesn't but, seem look, credible. But yeah, on but the look, flip these, side, this is what he's saying.
These are others. Roy Moore's former colleague says it was common knowledge he dated teens. Gladstone locals, that was the town, a small town that he grew up in, say Moore's predatory behavior at the mall and restaurants was not a secret. He's claiming he didn't even know where that restaurant was, where the latest accuser said that he picked her up from when her boyfriend was late one night, took her to the backyard of the restaurant, and then tried to aggressively pursue having sex with her. She fought him off. He then ceased and desisted, but then told her, don't say anything because nobody's going to believe you versus me.
Right, which, by the way, if you listen to her account and you watch her, I thought she sounded very convincing and those accusations, and as you point out, those threats are terrible. And as a woman, it makes me cringe.
Well, let's,
but he's saying this could be this grand scheme against him because it is a high stakes game. We got to put it in the context of it. The election's coming up. It's December 12th. I'm not taking anyone's side in this. I'm just saying to you that I'm reading and I'm just playing. I'm just presenting his side because he's finally speaking out.
You got Sean Hannity, who went to the mat for this guy, lost sponsors over it.
Yeah, he lost a couple.
And now he's saying you got 24 hours to clean this mess up. Because
so we'll see what he presents. Will Roy Moore present something that could clean it up? And what could he present?
The Jeff Sessions defense, which is, I don't remember. You see, it's the Alabama defense.
But that's clearly not working because that during that interview with Sean Hannity, I was watching the interview where Roy Moore was on the phone with him at the time. And Judge Moore, I've interviewed Judge Moore in the past. And Judge Moore in the interview with Sean Hannity, and that's what Sean brought up last night, saying the fact that he said, oh, I don't remember, I don't recall, it was different answers. But Judge Moore filing this document and going after McConnell.
Harvey Weinstein was going to sue the New York Times. You saw how far that got.
Right. No, it very well could be talk. But let's see. He's got the deadline is approaching. Let's see. Maybe he's got something.
We'll
could this be a grand scheme against Roy Moore? The number is 1-800-848-9222.
Where are all the callers who were so in the defense of Judge Roy Moore?
Well, let's go to John.
Where was that? We filled up. I mean, you couldn't stop people. Oh, he's being set up. This is part of a Democratic conspiracy, all of that. Now, all of a sudden, nobody's calling up because they know it's over.
Or does he have a Trump card that he has not pulled out yet?
Oh,
let's throw it out there.
Trump's going to throw him under the bus, too. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to John, first up in the queue, calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Johnny?
Hi, John.
Rita Curtis. Listen, you know what? The thing is this. I mean, we got everybody trying to get this guy guilty before even has anybody trying to convince him that he's not guilty. So tell me, Curtis, what happens if I got two hookers off the street at Coney Island, or I had a mobster walk in at one of your parties? And you know what? I say either you know a mobster or you went out with these hookers. How do you stop? How do you prove yourself not guilty?
That's one incident. John, that's one incident. We're talking five different women.
I can give you five hookers on the street to come up to you and say that you did them.
John, who do you believe? Do you believe any of the five women, or do you believe Judge Roy Moore, who can't seem to remember some of them?
Although they were many years ago, and again, I'm not defending Roy Moore.
So tell me how much more these guys are trying to do.
No.
$30 million.
Let me actually ask you, John, how would you, if you were Roy Moore, how would you prove that?
Hopefully he has a few special investigators out there. And when he just told the newspapers in 5 days, either you correct it or not, he comes up with something and slaps these guys right back in their place. Because
maybe,
you know what? They've done just that harassment thing in the Congress. That was done 2 days prior before this Judge Moore thing.
Maybe,
so there's another thing going on.
Maybe, John, maybe he can use the private investigators that Citizen Trump used for years to try to prove that Barack Obama wasn't born in Hawaii in the United States. You saw how far that got him.
Or maybe he can use the black cube.
All right. But anyway, to John.
Somebody came up with a prostitute and said that she did you.
Yeah, but John, I want to salute you here. You are one of the tried and true listeners to WABC, because I was listening Saturday afternoon to the Frommer's travel report, and I heard this.
John is calling in from Staten Island. John, you are live on the Frommer Travel Show. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'm planning to go to Europe, but I'm looking to find out, like, is there any place that has, like, big beach festivals in Europe? Like, what country has like that?
Beach festivals.
The first thing that comes to mind for me is Ibiza. It's like an ongoing festival, though. It's just always a party.
Right. Yeah. The whole island is.
Yeah.
But I was looking at just, like, in general, like, is there any sort of, like, big concert festival that's out in Europe on a beach?
He's a regular.
Did you decide, John, where you're going?
Hey, listen, you're into the EDM scene too, right? Well, come on, let's go, Kurt. Let's go hang out in Ibiza. Whenever you're ready, without the hookers.
Yeah, okay.
There are plenty of them there, by the way. Let's go to Mark from Bronx. Mark, you're here with Rita and Curtis. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi, guys. First time caller.
You love that. Love that. What are your thoughts? How does Judge Moore turn this around, or can he?
I think it's being treated unfairly. I'm just saying, how far do we go? I'm sure there's a lot of, I know of a lot of cases of, you know, of men going after younger ladies. Some were successful, some weren't. I think that we're talking about 30, 40 years ago, he didn't force himself on anybody.
Well, but see, one of the claims is, remember, at least this woman who is with Gloria Allred is making, again, just allegations, but that's the claim she's making. That's more serious.
Well, it's an allegation of him trying to force himself on her?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the allegations from the women. I mean, he's denying it, remember. We got to say he's denying it, but...
Well, we got to, you know, understand that Alabama, you know, a lot of those areas, is, even here in the Bronx, a lot of guys are calling out the younger girls.
Yeah, but see, Mark, there's a difference between, and in general, there's a difference between if it's consensual I mean, but if, and if it's a minor, that's a whole other issue. But if it's a teenager and somebody puts an unwanted, that's an assault. That's different than, like, you know, being a little too frisky.
Okay.
All right. There you go. All right. Let's go to Jim from Long Island. Jim, you're here with Rita and Curtis. Go ahead.
I love you both.
Thank you.
Here's my take on it. Where were the parents of these girls when they allegedly were molested or assaulted? Why didn't the parents come forward and say something?
Well, we know in the first incident, the 14-year-old at the time, her mother was in court. That at the time, Judge Roy Moore was an ADA. He knew that she was going into a session in which there would be family discussions that would go south. He said, I'll tell you what, let me sit outside with your daughter. She doesn't need to go in there and hear this between you and your former husband. You know, she's 14. And then he befriended her, and then he started calling her at the house, picking her up, and then took her to his house, undressed her, tried to have
allegedly.
Her.
Yeah, this is the allegation.
Yeah, come on, Jim. This guy's a perv. Yeah, well, I mean, how many people have to come out and call
Curtis,
you a perv? Look,
let me read
this to you. Okay, his friend, right? Roy Moore's former colleague says it was common knowledge he dated teens. Gladson locals say Moore's predatory behavior at the mall and restaurants was no secret. Come on, Jim. How much more info do you need to know?
The best way to solve this thing is for these women to take a lie detector test.
The anybody women? How about Judge Roy Moore take
no,
the lie detector
no,
test?
No, they're making the accusation. Let them take a lie detector.
But Jim, why not everybody? I think Curtis's point's a good one. Why not everybody take it, and then you get
fine.
A result?
That's fine. That's fine.
Oh well, the problem is that he has the Jeff Sessions defense. He can't remember.
Although he's now going on the offense, and basically, I mean, he's saying this is looks like a big setup. That's what he's alleging now. He's taking it one step further. He's not just saying, I don't recall.
Yeah.
Now he's saying, this is BS media. You're putting it out of context.
All you have to do, read it. Look at the guy, right, with the cowboy hat on the horse, you know, when he came to ride in to vote.
By the way, that's like half of Alabama. You're saying half of Alabama? Come on.
Look at
Justin.
He looks like
a horse right next to Justin, and he's back at home.
If you look up Lech in the dictionary, you see a picture of Judge Roy Moore there.
That is half of Alabama, and that's why they love him here. They love that country boy stuff.
Well, they love it down there,
stuff,
the three-eyed cousin fornicators. You know, they'll be snacking on 13-year-olds, 14-year-olds,
they don't love that, but they like the religious beliefs, and they like the country boy. That is,
religious
and you've been down
beliefs.
In, you've been in Alabama.
I know. Religious beliefs is you marry your first cousin who's 13. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
And this is Rita Cosby here with Curtis. To the phones we go. Let's go to Al in Newburgh. Al, you're here on the show. Go ahead.
Hey, hi, how are you?
Good.
Curtis, I love you. I think you're wonderful on the air. However, I actually think you got this thing all kinds of backwards. All right? And I want to start with the law. There is no courtesy of the law given in any of the conversations. There's only innuendos and things of that nature. This has nothing to do with the federal government. This has everything to do with the state of Alabama. Whether or not he did this, it goes down to the state.
So how does hang on one second, Al. How does he prove his innocence? Let's talk about the law from that perspective.
Well, that's fine and dandy. That's what he gets to do in a court of law. He gets to hear his accusers in a court of law. What we have right now is a court of public opinion. And the court of public opinion is really, and I hate to say it, bastardizing the circumstances. Curtis is saying, well, he's going with all these teenagers. You know?
Well, that's what he thinks happens in Alabama. He's stereotyping the whole state of Alabama.
Yeah, but the state of Alabama is also consensual at 16. So if these girls are 16, 17, 18, 19, those are teens.
Yeah, but Al, don't you find it odd that we have these two prime figures from Alabama who seem to be forgetful about everything? Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, and Judge Roy Moore. You're giving them a pass because they conveniently forget. How could you forget being with a 14-year-old when you were 32 or 36. How could you forget going to a restaurant and flirting with a 15-year-old waitress when other people said that you were at that restaurant? Yeah, there are other people who said he was at the restaurant on a regular basis, and he's claiming he doesn't even know this restaurant or where it is.
That's fine. Can I answer that?
Yeah, how could he be so forgetful, and why would you want him in the U.S. Senate if he's so forgetful?
What I'm going to answer to you this way, you were answering in the form of a democracy government, all right? This is democracy. What do we want? We want to hang them. Let's hang them now. We're not looking at the form of a republic, which gives you due process.
Well, there's a statute of limitations. There are no criminal charges that can be filed on these.
And then, so what we're saying here is a mute point.
What do you mean a mute point? You don't think that this is important for the voters of Alabama to assess?
These are nothing more than allegations.
Yeah,
but the problem is, Al, and this is where the issue is. Wait, hang on one second, Al. The age thing, sometimes you don't know how old somebody is or whatever the case is, but what Curtis was talking about was the fact that in one of the allegations, this one at the restaurant, she's saying it was an unwanted physical advance, like to the point where he tried to kiss her and tried to grab her. Again, only allegations. He's saying it's not true. But that's much more serious than a date, than a consensual date.
By the way, Al, if you had a teenage daughter, let me ask you a question. If you had a teenage daughter and Judge Roy Moore said, leave her with me, would you do that, Al?
I wouldn't leave my daughter with anybody.
Okay, so, Angie, you answered that. You don't trust Judge Roy Moore, so why would you trust him to be the U.S. Senator of Alabama?
Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
77 WABC.
Here with Curtis Sliwa today, and we're talking a little dirty laundry of First Hollywood with Harvey Weinstein and so many others. And now there are allegations coming out about members of Congress. Listen, they're all criticizing Roy Moore, they're criticizing Hollywood, but guess what? They got a lot of dirty laundry of their own. And yesterday on Capitol Hill, Jackie Spear, she's a Democrat from California, had this to say.
In fact, there are two members of Congress, Republican and Democrat, right now, who serve, who have been subject to review, or not have been subject to review, but have engaged in sexual harassment. These harasser propositions, such as, are you going to be a good girl, to perpetrators exposing their genitals, to victims having their private parts grabbed on the House floor.
Wow. Boy, that sounds like a pretty heated time in Congress. And she went a lot further because she then went, Curtis, on MSNBC. And this is her interview with Chuck Todd. Take a listen.
If the taxpayers involved, don't we have the right to know?
Well, I think you do have the right to know. But right now, under the system, you don't have a right to know.
Mm-hmm. Is this something you think you will retroactively deal with?
I don't know that we can retroactively deal with it because that's a contract that's been signed by both parties. I think moving forward, we absolutely must. Now, we do know that there's about $15 million that has been paid out by the House on behalf of harassers in the last 10 to 15 years.
$15 million has been paid out over sexual harassment claims, so obviously more than one member of Congress. Do you know how many over time that is? I know that some of them are former members now.
I don't really know.
Unbelievable. Curtis, $15 million. And talk about a bunch of hypocrites that under law, they can't say who it is. But oh, they can call out Harvey Weinstein. They can call out everybody else. Those people deserve to be called out. But under law, these people, and some of them, Curtis, two of them are current members.
I disagree.
Why should we not know who they are?
Of course. Look at Bill O'Reilly. He paid hush money. Both Fox News Channel paid hush money for him. And apparently, in the last case that involved Lisa Wheel,
yeah.
He paid all the money in hush money. And yet we know about all the accusers, including Juliette Huddy, who will be with us here tomorrow.
Well, so, and that came out publicly. But just to
now,
the
now
point,
remember, they
did you
all,
think it was right that it came out about Bill O'Reilly?
Absolutely.
So then why is it not right for members of Congress?
Because they considered themselves to be special. So we now know.
So you think they are a protected class? They should not be.
But it won't last for long. You know right
now.
This
is the tip of the iceberg.
Reporters are digging in to see who the two congressmen are, one Republican, one Democrat, that apparently the House Speaker was probably John Boehner at the time.
Crybaby? Crybaby Boehner, yep. With the good tan, by the way. He always had a great tan.
Who signed off on it. But you know other House members knew. You knew leaders in the Senate knew.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, if you listen to some of the testimony, like here's a story. Linda Sanchez, Democrat of California, another one who came out, and she told the Associated Press earlier this month, get this, that a male colleague ogled her and touched her inappropriately on the House floor when she first started serving. Yeah, welcome to Congress, honey.
Well, she told what the story was, but didn't name a name.
Yes.
Senator Gillibrand of New York also claimed that she was sexually harassed upon entering the United States Senate representing New York, but she would not name names. Now, remember, in the case of both Senator Gillibrand and the congresswoman you mentioned, that was not part of any contracts that was signed to keep things hush, hush, mush, mush.
But so, I don't think they should be making deals. You are a member of Congress. And I also think that you have to be held to a higher standard. There should be no deals.
Well,
and
remember,
this is taxpayer money.
Remember, let's take you back to Albany, the most corrupt state government in America now. At the time, the capo di tutti in charge was Shelley Silver, the Hyman Roth, and Meyer Lansky of Democratic politics, the most powerful man, more powerful than the governor at that time. There was the lech, there was the perv, Vito Lopez, who was also the chairman of the corrupt Democratic county machine. And remember how he was leching on women left and right, and they were making settlements with these women left and right, never consulting anybody. Never informing the public.
Taxpayer money again.
Interns.
Unbelievable.
Remember, interns.
I think taxpayer money, no way should ever be paid for anything like this. If it's taxpayer money, we should know about it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is the question. There are signed and sealed contracts that state that the victims of the sexual harassment cannot speak out, cannot even say they were victimized by any of the congressmen because it's part of the deal. Is it incumbent upon us to know who it is since $15 million was paid out, hush, hush, mush, mush money? Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
And you know this is going to come out because look how many leaks have happened already. Even anything regarding the Trump administration, we find out, okay, that they're looking into Flynn. We find out they're looking into this person, that Carter Page is coming up. There are so many leaks. We're going to find out, I think, eventually.
What
but by
prevents,
principle, it should come out.
What prevents Speaker Ryan or Mitch McConnell with his bottle of Kentucky bourbon at his side, or the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, or Nancy Pelosi from stating who these people are? Remember, they're not part of the agreement.
Right. But
I don't think Ryan is. I think this probably happened when John Boehner was the speaker. And just let us all know these
and
were the settlements.
And shame on them, too.
Right.
You know what I find so unbelievable, too, Curtis? In this climate, this is the same climate where they are going after Judge Moore and others, rushing to say, okay, well, let's hurry up and get him to resign. And granted, there are a number of women there, so I'm not going to. We're not going to go back on that. But they are so quick to be the judge, jury, and executioner. What about for themselves?
Sure, and especially if they like these congressmen. Because they do business with them, they know their families, they're attending the same lobbyist parties where they get wine dined in pocket line. They're not so quick to want to drop the dime as they would be to somebody, remember, that they hated, they loathed, they despised, like Anthony the Perv Wiener.
Yeah, when the whole thing happened with Wiener, you're right, there was nobody there defending
him. They because they all hated him.
They all hated him, Republicans and Democrats. He pissed off so many of them that it didn't matter.
But you notice, when they get elected, they feel they're entitled.
Well, that's the issue. And how dare they act like they're above it all? I just say this is crying
now,
hypocrites.
Let me remind you. Take it back even further on the time machine. There was a congressman from Brooklyn, Fred Richmond, who perved on male interns, was found guilty. Guilty. He perved on male interns. Guess what? The residents in his Brooklyn congressional district reelected him. It was Gary Studs.
Absolutely.
In
it
New
happens
Bedford
all the
and
time.
Fall Rivers, Massachusetts, who used to take male interns into the men's room stall, the turlet, and do them there. And then what happened? He was found guilty by the House, and the residents of New Bedford and Fall River reelected him.
I say two words, Marion Barry. Marion Barry, remember, you know, caught with the prostitute doing crack and then gets reelected easily in Washington, D.C. as the mayor. But in this case, it is shocking, and I think it's despicable. And I want to take it one step further, too, because Congresswoman Barbara Comstock, who I know, I've known Barbara a long time, before she even ran. And she, this is a, I just want to say, because I know her, she is a credible woman. I think she's a good, decent, honest woman. She's a Republican of Virginia and one of those people who sort of, you know, doesn't really play politics that much. She shared the story yesterday. I thought this was one of the most compelling things that I saw, too, Curtis, to watch her. I remember watching. It was so gripping. And she said that she told the story of a lawmaker who she says a male lawmaker who is still there on Capitol Hill asked a young female staffer to bring in some things, bring some materials to his home. He opens the door dressed in only a towel, invites her inside and proceeds to expose himself. And that staffer subsequently quit her job.
You see, I think there's a problem with men of all different backgrounds in that they want to prove they do not have erectile dysfunction. So they do it in the strangest ways, which should end up getting them locked up. They can prove to the other inmates that they're cellmates with that they don't have erectile dysfunction.
Yeah, I was going
to
say that's where they wish they had erectile dysfunction at that moment.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. Pete's first up in the queue from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Pete.
Hi, Pete.
Curtis and Rita. Hi, how you doing? Hey, Curtis, I want to hit on two things. Okay, first off, is whatever happened in this country to you're innocent until you're proven guilty. And secondly, if we're paying $15 million to cover up and it's coming out of our taxpayer money, I don't care what they say. We've got a right to find out what's going on. And, you know, you take a poor drug addict to somebody in the street, they're going to get screwed, and these big guys walk.
Well, you know what I think, Pete? It's sort of par for the course, because remember, even in like all the Obamacare stuff, it's like Congress goes after everybody else, but they always carve these little special packages. Remember, it was like they're exempt from Obamacare and all these other things, but they can have their regular insurance. But the rest of the country, shame on us.
That's why I'm afraid we're headed to a revolution, because how much are people going to put up with?
Well, now that this Congresswoman, Jackie Speier, has put the cards on the table that payouts were made to a Republican and a Democratic congressman, we know that Schumer, Pelosi, Ryan, and McConnell know exactly who those people are.
Yeah, they have to.
And it's incumbent upon them, because in a part, remember, there's no confidentiality clause that forces them not to say anything. It's whoever was involved in it. So, for instance, Juliette Huddy, who will be with us tomorrow, she signed a confidentiality clause, so she doesn't talk about it.
Although it got leaked out,
right,
remember?
Other people
that,
have
right,
talked about.
And that's why I'm saying this is going to leak out.
So maybe the two congressmen, when they're outed, can sue Ryan if he outs them, or McConnell.
The problem is you never,
the schmuck,
but you never
Schumer,
find out where
or
it
Pelosi.
Is.
You and never imagine, find the leak. Here's Pelosi. She's the woman out of the three who is sitting on this like a hen ready to hatch eggs.
Well, and it sounds like there were a lot of other cases that even didn't go to a legal proceeding. You know, there are a number that are. And what I think is so scary, by the way, this is what's so scary, Curtis. Two of them are still there.
Right, but think of this. Speier said 10 to 15 years. That might even include Nancy Pelosi when she was Speaker.
Yeah, who knows?
Imagine if she sat on this as she's been railing against sexual harassment.
Right, right. Oh, my goodness. And some of them are still there in Congress. That's the scary thing.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Boom! The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from the
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
And this is Rita Cosby here in for Curtis. Curtis is doing the second screening of his great documentary called Vigilante, where they're profiling him and the Guardian Angels. And you still have time, by the way, to go down and see it, because it's the second screening. He's just doing two, and it's at the IFC Theater, which is right there in the Village in New York. So come on out if you still have time. If you're near the Village right there, near the IFC Center, come on down. And around 2:30, he will be there speaking about it. Then they're going to be showing the documentary, and then he's doing Q&A afterwards. So if you're in the area, make sure that you come on down. And if not, I'm sure we're going to be talking about it in the next few days. But it's a fun chance to go out and see Curtis and also see this incredible documentary called Vigilante. And speaking of sexual vigilantes now, there's a lot of talk about what's happening with Harvey Weinstein. And now he's getting a little bit of comfort from some others in Hollywood. And in the height of all these sexual harassment allegations, and of course, the latest allegations against Judge Roy Moore, we're just getting word that President Trump is going to be doing some speaking. It was sort of unscheduled. It was not on his regular public schedule, but he's going to be speaking at 3:00. So we'll try to bring you the latest on that. He's going to be speaking at the White House. Of course, he's back from his trip from Asia. So he's certainly going to be talking about that and trade and meetings and so forth. But almost assuredly, if he is going to take any questions, he will be asked, I'm sure, about Judge Roy Moore, because in the last few minutes, we've been talking a lot about Mitch McConnell, the GOP leader, and a whole bunch of others who have come out and called for him to step aside. But Judge Roy Moore so far is digging in and saying that he's actually going to go after the media for defamation and a whole bunch of other things. So we will keep you posted. Again, President Trump speaking around 3:00 in just about an hour. So we'll see what he has to say, and we'll see if he takes any questions. In the meantime, we're also talking about Harvey Weinstein. And this comes because, of course, now there are so many allegations against Harvey Weinstein. In fact, I mean, the numbers there, there's reports that it's about 100 women who have been making allegations, and some of them are actually suing him. And we're waiting to see what happens with the DA, Cy Vance. Will he actually file charges against Harvey Weinstein for a case? And that was tied to this woman with one of the Boardwalk Empire actresses. And apparently that fits still within the statute, and there's some corroborating evidence. Again, these are just allegations, but we do know that Cy Vance has said that he is investigating this, and there's a possibility that an arrest could come. After all these different allegations against Harvey Weinstein, there could possibly be an arrest in a matter of days by Cy Vance, the Manhattan DA. So in the middle of all this, Bryan Cranston, of course, you know him from Breaking Bad, well-known actor. He comes, I've seen him a whole bunch of times. He comes to the White House correspondence dinners and a whole bunch of other things. And he now says that there is room for redemption for Harvey Weinstein and others in Hollywood. And he said this when he did an interview with the BBC. This is a little bit of Breaking Bad's Bryan Cranston talking all about that.
It would take time. It would take a society to forgive them. And it would take tremendous contrition on their part. Maybe so. And maybe it's possible. In the face of it, we should let that open. We shouldn't close it off and say, to hell with him, rot, and go away from us for the rest of your life. Let's not do that. Let's be bigger than that.
So should we be open to a Harvey Weinstein comeback already? And is it too soon to hear that kind of language? The number is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. I personally think it is way too early to talk about this. I mean, the chips haven't even fallen. I mean, we've heard a lot of allegations against Harvey Weinstein already. But is Hollywood already getting soft on one of their own for Bryan Cranston to be coming out and saying, well, we have to be sympathetic. We have to see if they can, you know, touch their inner souls. We should forgive them, basically. Is that just being way too soft on this issue, especially when we're hearing that it's about 100 women now who've said that they've experienced inappropriate advances by Harvey Weinstein, and a lot of credible women, a lot of well-known women? What do they have to lose by coming forward? You know, what do they have to gain by coming forward? I mean, you sit there and you think about, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow and Angelina Jolie and all these others and all these other women who've come forward who are not big celebrities, who I think have been really courageous to speak out. And again, Harvey Weinstein has been getting therapy, but he only went for a week. So why should we be talking about Hollywood being ready to give them a comeback? I think it is way too early. I think it's completely inappropriate. And by the way, Bryan Cranston is sort of also speaking about others, too. He's not just speaking about Harvey Weinstein. He's also talking about people like Kevin Spacey. And there's a number of allegations against Kevin Spacey. They don't involve women. They involve a whole bunch of men, including that Broadway actor, remember, who came out recently and said that when he was like 14 years old, Kevin Spacey attacked him, according to this, you know, this actor. So I just think it is way too early. And I think this is so typical Hollywood, too. You know, it's like, oh, well, we should be open to it. We should see if they can reform. We should see if we can do all these things. I wonder if they would feel the same if it were Donald Trump or if it was a Republican or if it was someone else. I actually don't think they would. And I think it's incredible that they're already sounding like sympathetic to him. Oh, let's just forget that it's 100 women that Harvey Weinstein is accused of at this moment. And that's a huge amount of numbers. And you're telling me that we should already sort of start, and I haven't seen really any forgiveness. I mean, we've heard from Harvey Weinstein. He's basically said those allegations are not true. Again, he could be facing criminal charges in a matter of days, so it's extremely serious, my goodness. But in the case of him, he went for rehab, and it was some joke of a rehab. Remember, I think it was in like the Midwest somewhere, and he went for a week and said, okay, I'm cured. Okay, I'm done. I'm ready. I'm rehabilitated. I'm coming back. And we haven't heard him even say, oh, I am so, so sorry. I did everything wrong, or at least I did X and X wrong. I mean, Louis C.K., at least to his credit, came right out and said, I didn't realize my behavior was not correct. I think he should have even gone even a little further in his apology. But at least he apologized and came right out because he saw the writing on the wall and he saw what's happened to Harvey Weinstein and all these others. And you're telling me 100 women are wrong? And Bryan Cranston is already basically sounding like, well, we should look as a society, look about forgiving him. You know, see if we can find the tremendous contrition on their part. If they could reach that, then we need to maybe move forward. You know, maybe we can help them with their deep psychological, emotional problems. That's where Bryan Cranston's at. I'd say this is typical Hollywood. And Hollywood, you know, thank goodness that these women are courageous and that they're speaking out. And again, so many of them speaking out and some of them that I know. And already Hollywood is, okay, we're done. We're ready. You know, we're ready for a comeback. Does Harvey Weinstein deserve a comeback? Does Kevin Spacey deserve a comeback? Do they all deserve a comeback? Especially if we haven't heard, I'm sorry from Harvey Weinstein. That's, you know, two words I want to hear. I am sorry. To me, it's stunning. Absolutely stunning. Let's go to Bob from New York City. Bob, you're here with Rita filling in for Curtis Sliwa on 77 WABC. Bob, go ahead.
Oh, hey, Rita. Yeah, you do a great job on radio with Curtis.
Oh, thank you. I love Curtis. Yeah. It's tons of fun.
Yeah. I know. You do a good job. Hey, listen, I want to say it now. Two things. I know you like to talk a lot. I don't mean no disrespect, but you got to let me kind of finish.
By the way, all women love to talk. You know that. You know that. It's inherent in our DNA.
Right. Well, you got to let me talk. You do that to a lot of callers. You just don't. They say one thing and you're all over it.
Because they ramble. They ramble. Right, right. But Bob, because you're such a nice guy, I'm going to give you time. Go ahead.
Just a little, right, because I want to explain. I feel that the victims of Harvey Weinstein should decide his fate. Okay. Mm. And I feel like the same thing with this guy, Kevin Spacey. All right. Let me just say that the average person in the workplace, if they say something that is derogatory, all right, they're immediately fired by human resources. Okay. That's the common everyday worker. Right. Now, why isn't the same treatment being done to Hollywood people? They are employees, but they esteem themselves to be like God. You understand? Like, they're so untouchable, and they're just people. They're just weak, regular people. Most of them are very, very sinful, very debased.
And now, by the way, Bob, I think that's why we got to the point with Harvey Weinstein, because people thought he was untouchable.
Rita, listen, the tape that the girl, when the girl, the actress had him on tape, it's like, isn't that enough to satisfy any jury or judge that this man is sick and he should pay the penalty? He made enough money, okay? He's got to answer for what he did, and that will set an example for the rest of these people that ever think about doing it. And this Kevin Spacey guy with a 14-year-old boy, I mean, come on. This is a crime. It's a crime.
It is.
And I think people should boycott their movies.
Well, and by the way, you make a great example, Bob, because you are hitting it in the pocketbooks. And that's what happened. I mean, right away with, you know, Weinstein, remember, they said, okay, we're separating with him from the company. And then we heard, of course, the Oscars said, okay, he's no longer going to be a part of the Academy. He was certainly part of the Academy, a big part of it. Kevin Spacey, remember, he's no longer with House of Cards. But I agree with you that I think that it's like power in numbers. And if you speak out and say we're no longer going to buy their movies and we're no longer going to be a part of anything. And I still want to hear, I am sorry. I don't understand why, you know, people like a Harvey Weinstein. And listen, I'm also from the mentality that sometimes people are falsely accused and they do deserve a fair airing, because I think sometimes people are in this big, big bandwagon and you have to have proof, especially if allegations happened a while ago. But when you see so many women in this case, so many women and so many men in the case of Kevin Spacey, you know, to say, I am sorry. And Harvey Weinstein, I haven't heard those words out of his mouth. I mean, to me, it's astounding. Let's go to Ken from New Jersey. Ken, you're here with Rita filling in for Curtis Sliwa on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Ken.
Hey, Rita, you know, I think that both sexes are guilty of things for sure. But I think if each sex could see, I've never been sort of really sexually driven. I see people with my ears more than I see them with my eyes.
You sound like the perfect man. We love that. Women need more men like you, Ken. We love that.
But you know, women need to see men without a pocketbook or whatever you call it.
That's true, too.
Being their own, like using this, my father always said, be your own man. And my father would have said to his daughter, which I say to my daughter, be your own man. Never be taken advantage of. If somebody takes advantage of you, kick them in the stones. Be done with it. Don't ever be taken advantage. You can't be bought. Money should not be your be-all and end-all. And if you see the person for their personality and what they bring to you as a human being, and I'm not a perfect, believe me, I'm not. Divorced the whole thing, but I bet you my ex-wife would not say bad things about me.
Well, that's a good thing. And by the way, very few ex-wives are so nice. So you sound like a good guy. But I also agree with you that, you know, we have to look at the person. I do hope, by the way, with all this coming out, with all the women speaking out, that it's given a lot of other women and not ones who have the name like Angelina Jolie and Gwyneth Paltrow and big celebrities who have a lot of money and a lot of stardom. I hope it's given so many women to have the courage to speak up and talk about what's happened to them. Look, we were just talking in the last block about Congress. We're talking about it's all over the place. So I'm so glad that there is this empowerment that just because a guy makes a lot of money or is in a big position that you can't speak out. And I think that it's given them a lot of, you know, a lot of chutzpah that they absolutely deserve if they were a victim for them to speak out against these guys. And same if it's guys on guys or whatever it is, as we're hearing in Kevin Spacey's case. Let's go to Joe from Long Island. Joe, you're here with Rita on 77 WABC filling in for Curtis. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, Rita. I have to take exception to something you said. Bryan Cranston, from what I heard in that quote, from that interview, he said one of the first things he said was it's going to take time. I don't think he's asking for people to forgive Harvey Weinstein tomorrow or today. It is going to take time, but have we gotten to such a point in our society, in this world, that we're unwilling to even entertain the thought of forgiving somebody?
You know what? Joe, you bring up a great point, because I do think that everybody does deserve forgiveness. But what I also think is it's still so sensitive. And Joe, you got to remember, this all comes on the heels as we're waiting. The DA here in New York City, Cy Vance, maybe, and he's definitely investigating Harvey Weinstein and maybe pressing charges against him very soon. So I just say that I think it's way too early to hear that kind of language about should we forgive, should we not forgive. I think that that comes down the road. And I think it also comes after Harvey Weinstein says, I'm sorry. I'm going to continue with your calls. It's 800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. This is Rita Cosby filling in for Curtis Sliwa.
He knows the city, live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
And this is Rita Cosby here in for Curtis, who is at the screening of Vigilante, the film about him and the Guardian Angels, taking place right now in the Village at the IFC Center. So you can still run down and catch some of the movie a little bit, or at least catch part of it, but it's going starting any moment now there with Curtis. In the meantime, a topic that is near and dear to Curtis and the Guardian Angels is Rikers Island. And this is staggering to me. City Controller Scott Stringer, Democrat, who has been very vocal in saying that, you know, Rikers Island should be closed, that it should be done a lot quicker because it's like Alcatraz, you know, on the island and the whole deal and all the expenses and all the money that goes into it. And now he has talked about such big money that has gone into Rikers that is being shelled out by the city. And my jaw dropped when I heard this amount. I mean, it is just staggering, the cost per inmate per day. Now, I want to kind of give you a little bit of background, because when you hear this, you're going to be so amazed how much taxpayer dollars are going towards Rikers Island per inmate. And again, since Mayor de Blasio has come into office, since 2014, the city has shelled out $1.36 billion to run Rikers. That's in the 2017 fiscal year, and that's 44% jump since 2014. So it has skyrocketed under Mayor de Blasio, the cost of Rikers Island. And of course, it's something he talked about during the debates and on the campaign trail, that he wanted to close Rikers Island. But everybody's saying, wait a minute, how do we get to this price where it's costing so much money? And why haven't you come up with a solution sooner in the time that you have been in office? What are your thoughts when you hear these numbers? Let me tell you this. It now costs the city, again, our money, a whopping $143,000 a year to keep each inmate in jail. That's more than double the price that it was a decade ago. And then if you add in like pensions, fringe benefits, medical services, all these other things, guess what? It comes out to $270,000 a year to house one detainee in our jails, in Rikers Jail. Think about that. That is $742 per inmate per day. And that is staggering. Think about a nice hotel suite. You can get a beautiful room, even in New York City, which costs a fortune, but you can get a beautiful room in New York City for well under $742 a day. And that's what we're spending on inmates. How did we get to this point? And why has this not been fixed sooner? And talk about a ballooning budget. And this, of course, comes as the head of the corrections, Norman Seabrook. The trial, we're waiting to see what the jury comes back with. It is still in deliberations after all these days, still waiting to see what comes back. Remember, that was the whole thing about giving money to the hedge fund with the union funds and all that stuff. So many questions of allegations of impropriety. And this is shocking that this much money is being spent per inmate per day in New York City. Can you imagine what we could do with $742? What are we going wrong? And are we being too soft on our criminals? Do we need to go back and be more like some of these other countries? You know, I'm not saying be like, you know, like Thailand or some of these other countries. We also have Midnight Express and some of these other places. You know, we don't want to be like that. But are we getting too squishy and too soft with inmates to the point where we're spending such outrageous amount of money? The number to call is 1-800-848-9222, 1-800-848-9222. This is Rita Cosby filling in for Curtis Sliwa. You know, you look at some of the numbers, and even Scott Stringer, again, as I mentioned, the city controller who brought up this issue and said, this is just incredible. This is what he had to say about the city funds, our money.
Rikers isn't just a moral stain on our city. It's a budgetary black hole. New Yorkers are going to shake their heads when they realize the amount of money we're paying for 9,500 inmates on Rikers Island.
Amazing. And by the way, all of this comes as the inmate population is actually decreasing. It's actually at an all-time low. And yet we are spending so much money, $742 a night, to house and take care of each inmate a day on Rikers Island. Where have we gone wrong? And are we just like too sympathetic in the criminal justice system? Is it a criminal justice issue, or do you think it actually comes down to the way it's being handled by the city, by this mayor, by others? I mean, I think it's actually a combination of all things. I think inmates, first of all, I kind of go back to a little bit of the Joe Arpaio school. Make them wear pink underwear, if that's what it means, to teach them a lesson so they don't come back. And that revolving door of, oh, it's not so bad in jail. You know, if you did something wrong, and there are people who are awaiting trial and all these other things, that's different. But if you're convicted of something serious, why is it so cushy? Why is it so easy? And even, in fact, at the Department of Corrections, and Scott Stringer was talking about this, there are almost about 11,000 uniformed corrections officers. That's more than the numbers of inmates for 2 years in a row now. Can you imagine that? There are more corrections officers, and they're paying overtime and doing all these things, and yet there's less inmates than correction officers. Boy, have we gone wrong. Let's go to Maria from Rockland. You're here with Rita filling in for Curtis. Go ahead, Maria.
Hi, Rita. I was just thinking that couldn't there be something when they're sentenced where they have to pay back the public for the use of the facility? So build it into their sentence, and then when they're out, that their pay is garnished a certain percentage that can go back to us.
That's a good idea. You know, the other thing, Maria, too, is like forcing them to work while in prison. I mean, some of them have these work programs, which are good, too, because then they learn skills. And then when they come out, they're much more qualified and can get a job and all that. It's important for society to do all that. But I also think that while they're in there, what about working? And some of that, maybe they don't get to keep the money at all. And it all goes, maybe requiring them and maybe a little bit of hard labor. You know, too,
exactly.
You know, especially maybe depending on the crime. Maybe it could scale on the crime. If the crime's a serious crime and you've been convicted for a very serious crime, maybe it needs to be some pretty tough love. And all that money goes towards paying off at least a portion of the 742. What do you think of that?
Absolutely. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think so, too. Thanks so much, Maria. Let's go to Jason from Long Island. Jason, you're here with Rita Cosby filling in for Curtis on 77 WABC. Jason.
Hi, Rita. How are you today?
I'm good. But I am so riled up when I saw that it's $742, and here we are living in New York City. And my goodness, what anybody could do with $742 in New York City. Think about, you know, you could put them up at the Plaza Hotel as opposed to Rikers for $742.
No, you're absolutely right. But my thoughts are, when you're removed from society and placed into an institution like that, you're supposed to be there for rehabilitation. You're supposed to be there to learn the wrongs of your doing. And when you come out, you're supposed to be a positive factor. I don't think that 742 is enough. I think they should invest more. But
You think more? Why more? Because how can you justify that there are more Department of Corrections officers than inmates? Whatever happened to the old school? I've been in a lot of prisons for work. Not personally, but for work. And when I've walked in there, there's usually a lot more inmates than prison officials. And here there are more. There's more than it's like almost like 2,000. You know, it's at least well over 1,000 more corrections officers than inmates. How do you justify that ratio?
Well, you know, I can't. I can't justify that ratio. All I know is that a lot of people are placed in Rikers for very misdemeanor crimes, and they're part of that 742 a night. Now, it needs to be better budgeted, and factor-wise, those that committed misdemeanor crimes, they should be the ones getting ready to be rehabilitated and placed out back into society.
And Jason, I do think you could scale it, but I think to spend $742 of taxpayer monies, that's ridiculous. I mean, even you know, Scott Stringer, who knows a lot about the Rikers budget, he even says this is totally outrageous.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know, it's ridiculous. Jason, thanks so much. Let's go to Brody from the Bronx. Brody, you're here with Rita Cosby filling in for Curtis on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Brody.
Hey, Rita, you know, you and Ebony are my new Friday and Saturday night girls. I love you, ladies.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. Love Ebony, too. Thank you.
So here's the skinny. First of all, it's not about anything except you know, this has been known, the privatization of the incarceration industry, as you well know, I'm sure, is a monster business. Nobody wants to see anybody out of prison in that industry, and guys who shouldn't be there, non-victimless crimes like drugs or prostitution, stuff like that. I don't mean selling drugs, guys who are doing drugs or this and that. Those people, they want them in there. There are tons of people making tons of money.
And by the way, Brody, what a sad statement that is. And you're right. It is. It's a big business. It's big money. And the fact that it has been ballooning to this number under the mayor, I mean, this is an enormous amount of our taxpayer money. And shame on them, because, you know, even in fairness to the inmates that are there and maybe shouldn't be there that long, you know, we have to hurry up and get them skilled and get them out. But we also have to do it at a way that's fair to taxpayers, too. Let's go real quick to Herb in Manhattan. Herb, you're here with Rita Cosby filling in for Curtis. Go ahead, Herb.
All right. First thing is, this is doing a great job.
Thank you.
And the thing on Rikers Island, come on, Rikers Island, first of all, let the people know. They're going to be closing it very soon. They're purposely driving down the population. Where's the Bronx House of Detention? That's gone, too. The women's side of that prison is like a resort. Now, don't hang up on me when I say this. If you're a lesbian on drugs, in the morning, Dr. Feelgood comes around with the drugs if they want them. Then if you're a lesbian, there's plenty of lesbians that be holed up in there and stuff.
So it's like, really, so what you're basically saying, Herb, is that it's like a free for all on the women's side, and it shouldn't be easier for women than men. I'm agreeing with you on that one. I think if you did the crime, I don't care what it is, you pay the price, and we shouldn't have to pay that much for you.